Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me this morning, our text will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We call this declaration, what is taking place right now. We call this delivering a message. Delivering a message. A man who has been called of God to stand up and declare his word. Really, that's what a true preacher does, is he stands up and tells people what God has written in his word. He doesn't add his opinion to it. He doesn't add anything to it. He doesn't take anything from it. He just tells what God has written. And we call this a message. And it is a message. A message that God has recorded for his people in his word. And I do have a message for us today. I have a message from our Lord to all of us through his word. I must deliver the message. I must deliver what the Lord lays on my heart to deliver through his word. And I want to prepare us that this is a very serious message. This is a very sobering message. It's to God's people directly from him through his word. Now here is the message. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. It is such kindness. And it is such mercy that God would reveal to anybody the terror of the Lord. Such kindness. Not all men and women know the terror of the Lord. Many people do not know the terror of the Lord. The scripture says it's few. Few people. Very few men and women know that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Very few people know that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Whoever sinned against the law that Moses wrote died under the punishment of it. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Of how much sore punishment. He goes on to say in verse 30, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Man's thoughts toward God, man's natural thoughts toward God, his conversation toward God is naturally so flippant. It is so foolish. It is so arrogant. It's so proud. Man talks about God and what he's going to tell God and say to God and ask of God. And it's just so flippant and so proud. But once a sinner comes to know the terror of the Lord, once God strikes terror into the heart of a sinner. That is a changed man forever. That is a changed woman forever. The soberness of eternity comes over that sinner. Oh, the soberness of it. The guilt of his sin consumes him. He starts to realize all of the sin he has committed against this holy God. Humility, that proud, that arrogant soul, all of the sudden, humility lays heavy on him. Humility brings him down, just brokenness, true brokenness. Fear, for the first time, the fear of the Lord influences everything that sinner says, everything that sinner believes, everything that sinner does. It sinks in that the Lord said, and if you want to see this for yourself, he said it in Matthew 12, verse 36, every idle word, and think about that, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. People just let things roll off the tongue. Not only the tongue, every idle word that goes through the mind, every idle word that goes through the heart. Every man and every single woman is going to have to stand up before the judgment. And God is going to have to, from them, hear the account. They're going to have to give an account for every single word that he or she said on this earth. Every single one. Give an account in the judgment. Revelation chapter 20 says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. I saw this throne and I saw the one who sat on it, whose face everything fled away. Why did they flee away? The terror of the Lord. That's why, the terror of the Lord. And it goes on to say, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Everything man had ever done, it was recorded. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything they had done was written down. And they were judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing the terror of the Lord, and this is the terrible part, it's the Lord. We're talking about the Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, the only one who is able to save. The only hope of escape from the wrath and the terror. God's provided Lamb, that's who we're talking about. Men and women are going to have to hear Him say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now back in our text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. Persuade means to cause to believe by urging. It means to convince one by words to believe. Our Lord has given us words to believe. These are words to believe. These words must be believed. Verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Manifest is what? What are God's messengers manifest as? Here's the answer. Tellers of the truth. Tellers of the truth. This word will make manifest who is a messenger of the truth. This right here is the truth. I have a Bible sitting right here. I know you can't see it on your television screen, but I have a Bible sitting right here. And this is the truth. I'm not the truth. Don't listen to me. I'm a sinner just like you. This is the truth. This is the truth. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men, knowing, therefore. Therefore means because of what was just said. Look at verse 10, if you have it there with me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the reason men and women do not naturally know the terror of the Lord, it's because they do not know who is sitting in the judgment seat. That's the reason why. They don't know who's sitting there. They have no idea who they have to stand before. I believe people know that they will attend some type of judgment. They're going to go stand before somebody, whoever they think God is, but they don't know who it truly is. And they do not know what they are headed towards. Over in Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The judgment seat of Christ. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory," when Jesus Christ comes back, "and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." And He goes on to say that the sheep are going to be on His right hand and the goats are going to be on His left hand. And verse 41 says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." People leave this world having been told all their lives that Jesus Christ is a man who stands before them with this pleading countenance on their face. And you have probably been told the same thing at some point. Jesus Christ is a man who has this sad, pleading countenance on his face. Oh, and he has his arms stretched out and he's just begging people, saying, "Please, won't somebody have me? I'm here for you if you'll have me. Please, won't you let me do something for you?" Men are told that all their lives. Poor men and women, poor souls, have to sit in pews and waste their precious time. They could be off doing something else. But they have to sit in there Sunday after Wednesday and hear a man stand up and lie to them and lie to them and lie to them. And they get this vision in their mind of who Jesus Christ is and what He's like and what they're going to stand before, and then all of a sudden, they are catapulted to the judgment throne. Their time has come. God Himself, Jesus Christ, says, "That's it. not another breath of air. And they're catapulted to the judgment throne, and all of a sudden, they see him. There he is. And they immediately realize he is not begging and pleading like that man told me he was. He is judging and damning, dividing sheep from goats. And it's a sobering moment. It's a very sobering moment. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. You and I, let's not be caught up in those lies. Let's not listen to those lies. Let's listen to God's Word. Knowing us. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Back in our text, which is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. We spend our time on this earth doing things in our body. And everyone is going to receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every soul is going to get what he or she deserves. That's what it's saying. Whether good or bad, based on the things they've done, they're going to get what they deserve. Now, what have we done? What have we done? You think back on your life. I don't know how old you are, but I've lived for a few years, and I can think back on my life, and I know what I've done. And you know what you've done. Everything we have done in these bodies, we're going to be judged based on it, whether good or bad. What have we done? In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. We're seeking after the things of this world. We're seeking after the things that gratify and glorify this flesh. We seek money. We seek happiness. We seek self-glory. But man by nature does not seek after God. Not really. Verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Every soul is going to be judged. Now let's see, did you do good or bad? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 13 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. That means death comes out of it. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I know, believe me, I know, that people see themselves as being good. When you ask the average person to look back on his life, what do you see? I understand that most people see themselves as being relatively good. I understand that. I know that when many people hear the declaration we just heard, the declaration we just read, right here in God's Word, I know that when many people just read it from God's Word, they don't believe it. They think it's talking about somebody else. I understand that. I know that when people look within, when they look inside and assess themselves, they are relatively happy with what they see. What they say, I see a good person. Yeah, I see a person who did a few bad things. But I don't see a bad person. I see a good person. Here's our only problem. Here's the only problem. God says we're not. That's the only problem. God says we are not. It does not matter what we see. When we look inside, when we look back on our life, it doesn't matter what we see. All that matters eternally is what God sees, and the reason is because He's the judge. He sentences to life or death. And God says, as He looks on us and as He sees us, God says, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's what God says. God says all of our good deeds are filthy rags in His eyes. The truth of the matter is, the person who looks at himself or herself and only sees just a few spots of sin, the person who looks at himself and just sees a few spots of sin, that person is worse off than the person who looks at himself and says, there is nothing good in me. Nothing good on me. No soundness in me. The person who just sees a few spots, just a few little freckles of sin, that person is in worse condition than the person who cries, oh, wretched man that I am. And here's the reason why. This is the reason why. Pride is what is causing a person to only see a few spots. Pride. And our Lord said, pride is the number one thing that He hates. Pride. A man or a woman will be judged and damned for pride faster than anything else on this earth. There is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. No man or woman. We have some historical characters that are well known throughout the years, religious people who are very famous. There is none good. No, not one. None. All have done bad. Now, if you don't turn with me to any other scripture, make sure you turn to this one. Go one more time with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus Christ came into this world for one reason only. It was to trade places with His people, with His bad, wretched, wicked people. Those sheep that we read about in Matthew 25. All that the Father chose to give to Him. The ones whose names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no hope for fixing us. None. No hope for reforming us. Not only are we bad, we're flat ruined. So the message of hope is not, this is not the message of hope. Now we need to cut out the bad spots and salvage what's good. That's not the message. That's not the message. The message is not, we need to nurture and we need to heal those bad spots so that we can make them whole again and make everything good again. That's not the message. We're flat ruined. We're ruined. There is no hope for our condition. Here is the message from God Almighty to ruined sinners. Psalm 14 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He said in Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. God the Trinity looked down at every single man and woman that would ever walk on the earth to see if there were any that understood and sought Him and did good. With every one of them, did he do good? Nope. Did she do good? Nope. No hope. Then said Christ, I'll go do it. I will go do it. With every one of them, nope, nope, nope. Then Christ stood up and He said, I'll go do it. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He said, I delight to do thy will. He was born, the scripture says, a holy thing, a perfect, good, righteous, holy thing, born of the incorruptible seed of the Holy Ghost. From the moment he entered this world, everything he did was in agreement with God's law. Throughout his life, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. On the day he began his ministry, God his Father spoke out loud and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He went about throughout his life doing good, throughout his ministry doing good. He is the only man who has ever done good. Yes, the only one. Everything we have ever done and will ever do is bad. Everything he ever did and will ever do is good. And the books were opened. His book was perfect. Our book was ruined. And he traded records with his people. He took all of that bad upon himself, stood before the judgment throne, and suffered the penalty of death for it. In that, we now have his record. And now we go stand before God, and the books are opened. And God reads in that book that we now hold everything Christ ever did. Christ suffered our penalty, and God reads that book, and it says, it says here, you were absolutely perfect throughout your life. Is that so? In Christ it is. You never said a corruptible word or did a corruptible thing or had a corruptible motive in your heart. Is that so? In Christ it is. In Christ, he bore our sin. We receive his righteousness. That's salvation. Till next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.